All right. Anybody, when they were kids, they ever learned have to learn the preamble to the Constitution of the United States? I did. I forgot most of it. But I remember having to learn it. And the preamble, it kind of sets the stage for the Constitution. And it communicates, what it does is communicates the intentions of the framers and the purpose of the Constitution itself. And the preamble is an introduction to the highest law of the land. And it's not the law, but it don't define government power or individual rights. But it goes like this, and some of you will remember this word for word. I'd say Phil Gabbard probably remembers this word for word. Oh, he's not even listening. He's running back to the bathroom. All right. No, that's all right. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. My. You know what America was founded on? It is founded on the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, as God manifest in the flesh. And the Bible says in Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. My. You know, we live in a time where all the things that our forefathers have instituted and have set up are being challenged. They're all being challenged. All the values that you grew up with as kids, that my generation grew up with, all those things about liberty, about freedom of expression, freedom of thought, freedom of ideas. It's good to have that exchange of ideas. That's being challenged today. Being challenged today. Do you remember in those old Western movies, those old Western TV shows, those folks would be on that wagon train heading out west, and whenever those enemies would surround them, and whenever they were attacked on all sides by the enemies, do you remember what they did? They would circle the wagons. Today, America's silent majority needs to circle the wagons, and we need to stand up to that crowd. We don't need to roll over and play dead. The God we serve is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And they get away with that craziness that's being demonstrated today because no one's standing up. It's time to stand up and say that's enough. Now, in Luke chapter 15, there's a story, and I've been preaching on the prodigal son, different aspects of it. And America, it seems, has become the prodigal son. In many ways, we've left our heritage, and we're allowing others to attack and take our heritage. I'm not saying everything is good in our heritage. It's not. So many things that this government has done that all governments have done, I'm in very much disagreement with. I don't like racism. I'm not a racist. God said, call no man common or unclean. And if you're a born-again believer and you believe that book, you'll understand that the biggest problem you've got is with yourself. When you start thinking that you're better than somebody else, regardless of the reason, you've got a problem. Paul said, I'm the least of all saints. Then he said, I'm less than the least of all saints. So you need to get over it. You just need to get over it. America's made a lot of mistakes, just as that prodigal son. But America today is much like that son. History has declared that our own America has been blessed. We've been blessed for our stand as one nation under God. That's what we are, one nation under God. You know, another reason that America has been blessed so much is because we've stood with Israel. You say, where do you get that from, preacher? I get it from the book of Genesis, where the Lord told Abraham, I will bless him that blesses thee and curse him that curses thee. God says he blesses those who bless Abraham. We stand with Israel. Why? Because God demands that we stand with his chosen people. Does that mean Israel does everything right? Probably not. No, absolutely not. But that's God's business. We stand with Israel. Now, the first permanent English settlement on this continent was made on a charter granted by King James I in 1606. First Continental Congress met in Carpenter's Hall in Philadelphia on September 5th. 1774. Brother Phil was just a young man when all that occurred. The Second Continental Congress began in Philadelphia on May 10th of 1775, and it created the Continental Army, and on June 15th of 1775, they appointed George Washington as commander-in-chief. What's the old saying? Those that forget history are bound to repeat it. What in the world are these folks thinking of tearing down monuments? The Bible says, remember the ancient landmarks. Now, this Congress, under which the Declaration of Independence was written and adopted on July 4th of 1776, and under which, in fact, the Revolutionary War was fought and won, Cornwallis surrendered to Washington at Yorktown, Virginia on October 19th of 1780. And you know when our pilgrim fathers landed on the eastern shores? History states that those pilgrims came to America to escape religious persecution. At Church of England, they dictated everything. They didn't like Bible believers. They didn't like a crowd. It was a bunch of ritual and legalism, and the Bible-believing crowd said, we don't like it. They were referred to as separatists. Many referred to them as radical separatists. Why? Because they didn't want folks to tell them how they should worship. Over half, I think there was about 102 people on the Mayflower, and just about half of that crowd was a Bible-believing crowd that wanted to get away from that foolishness. Our forefathers began then to settle on the eastern shores, and one of the most common possessions to accompany each household was that old English Bible that had been translated into English. The text is called the Text of the Reformation. And that text of the Reformation changed the world. No question as to which God America would serve. We served one God. The Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. God said to Eli in 1 Samuel 2:30, said, them that honor me, I will honor. And them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Oh, we've got a crowd today that don't show much esteem to God and His Word and His people. Now, George Washington, it's my understanding he was Episcopalian, but he was led to the Lord and baptized by a Baptist preacher. Figure that one out. A preacher's name was John Gano, and he was baptized in the Hudson River in the presence of about 42 witnesses. George Washington is quoted as praying the following prayer for our newly formed country. He said, Almighty God, who has given us this good land for our heritage, we humbly beseech thee that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of thy favor and glad to do thy will. Bless our land with honorable industry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogancy, and from every evil way. He said, defend our liberties and fashion into one united people, the multitudes brought out of many kindreds and tongues. Endue with the spirit of wisdom those whom for thy name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be peace and justice at home, and that through obedience by the law we shall show forth thy praise among the people of the earth. In the time of prosperity, fill our hearts with spirit fullness. And in the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in thee to fail. All of which we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We began as a godly nation, led by godly men. You remember when the Lord created heaven, when he created the heavens and the earth, and at the end of the sixth day, he looked at all his creation and he said, it is good. But another place it says he looked at it and said, it's very good. You know, when this nation was formed, it was good. It was good. Liberty, freedom to believe like you wanted to believe. Even though we were a God-fearing, Bible-loving, Bible-teaching, Christ-founded America, we had religious tolerance. You can't make someone believe like you believe. You can't make them do that. You set an example. By your life, you should witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the opportunity comes, you witness by word. But we're a tolerant people. Tolerant of others' ideas, others' views. That's one of the things we're losing today. We've got a crowd today that don't want you to have the right to speak your mind. They want to shut you up. And shut you out. Shut the voice of the Lord out. But we began as a godly nation and led by godly men. We began with men of prayer, men of faith, men of the Bible. You know, in the old days, not too long ago, a man known for moral turpitude, a man known for not having morality, let me say, could never hope to get elected to political office. America prospered. America was blessed. As a Bible-believing nation, we were an America who always stuck with the Jew. My. You know, talking about the blessings of America, Brother Phil pointed out a verse that's a verse of prophecy. Is that in the book of Matthew where, you know, and let me qualify this by saying America has sent out more missionaries and done more for the gospel and the cause of Christ than any nation in the history of the world. And in Matthew, the Lord said that he would take the gospel from Israel and give it to a nation that would bring forth the fruits thereof. That's America. More missionaries than any country in the history of the world. But we stand with the Jew. We love the Jew because God loves the Jew. My. We're an America who tries to do right. Our America's values to the world have been far above, far more moral than any nation in the history of the world. We're probably the least racist of any nation in the world. Do we still have problems? Sure we do. But we've come a long way, baby. My. We were on our way to becoming the most prosperous and blessed nation in the history of the world. Great preachers, John Wesley and George Whitefield, Charles Finney, man, there were some great preachers back in the day, followed by great men of God like D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday, the great evangelist Sam Jones. Billy Sunday preached hard against the liquor trade. So did Sam Jones. They claimed that when Sam Jones preached the meeting, the bars in town would shut down. They'd have to shut down. Now you fast forward. Let's go back to about 1933. Congress repealed the 18th Amendment, prohibition. Say, boy, that was a big mistake, wasn't it? Was it? You know what? One of the reasons they repealed prohibition is because 1,400 people died with all the violence associated with prohibition. You remember all the gangster shows when you were kids? 14 people died, they claimed, because of prohibition, so they repealed it. And for many, many years, there's about 50,000 lose their lives due to alcohol. 50,000 a year! That's somewhat of a trade. That. What kind of a trade-off is that? Just thought I'd throw that in. And of that, you got countless lives destroyed, homes wrecked, domestic violence, related disease, and any fool can see the craziness involved in this one little simple act of Congress. The drug trade. The Bible says that many would be defiled because of sorceries. You know what the Greek word for sorcery is? It's pharmakia. Drugs destroying homes, destroying lives, changing personalities. So yeah, I've got the multi-personality. One, I'm one way when I'm on drugs, another way when I'm drinking, another way when I'm straight, another way when I'm high on the... Sure! Everybody been around a mean drunk? My dad loved the taste of whiskey. But my dad was never a mean drunk. I've been on some calls my years as a policeman with some mean drunks. The same with drugs. Some folks mellow out and others are crazy as a bicycle. My, my, my. Supreme Court decisions of 1955, June 17th, and 1963 expelled God and the Bible from public schools. Centuries earlier, Martin Luther commented that he said, whenever Scripture is not held as paramount in our schools, they will simply become gateways to hell. Wow. Martin Luther said that. On January 2nd, 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court legalized the murder of unborn babies. Maybe the greatest sin facing America today, maybe the sin that has brought judgment from God, is the wickedness and darkness of abortion. Since Roe v. Wade in 1973, I think we're up to over 60 million babies. That's more than all the wars. That's more dead human beings than all the wars. Ten Commandments been ripped from the public forum. Abominations that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, now championed by a major political party, champions that stuff. Yeah, we're for it. It's dark, it's wicked, it's abomination to Almighty God. Abortion, dark, wicked, abomination to Almighty God. We've lost our way as a nation. In Jeremiah 2, 11 and 12, God said, half the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be ye astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Hey, America is tempting God's mercy with many of our ways. I think what's been happening this last several months is a wake-up call. Can you hear me now? Surely it's a wake-up call. We've got to take a stand. Church, we have to circle the wagons and take a stand for God. We fought a lot of wars, been a lot of bloodshed for what we have. What we stand, we need to stand firm on all those values given to us by our founding fathers in a military that God has empowered and strengthened. My dad was shot in Luxembourg in World War II. Sonny Fleet, one of our deacons here, his brother, won the Congressional Medal of Honor. A lot of people. Phil Gabbard's dad was a tough Marine in all those famous battles, Iwo Jima, Saipan. I remember him writing my mother letters saying that on Christmas Day, he and his buddies were walking through a frozen field eating frozen cabbage. He won a Silver Star. Wow. Hey, you got to think about those things. We didn't get here by accident. And we got our liberty from God. From God, guns, and guts. Anybody ever remember that bumper sticker? We get our liberty from God, guns, and guts. That's the truth. Don't let some mealy-mouthed, effeminate liberal tell you any different. Years ago in a battle, a young standard bearer was leading the troops. I've told this story before. In battle, and as he forged onward, he found that he'd gotten a great distance in front of the troops. And the captain sent word for the standard bearer to return back to the men. But a young soldier replied that the men should come up to the standard. What do we do as a church? God says, marvel not at it. When thou seest the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher regardeth also, and there is higher than they. God wants us as a church to come together. There's a great responsibility today on the Lord's church. We can either roll over and play dead, or we can stand up and say we don't like it, we're tired of it, and stand for righteousness. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to let this country know that as for us, we will serve the Lord. You can serve whatever foolishness you want to serve, but as for us, the church, we're going to serve the Lord. We need to circle the wagons. We need to get back on our knees before God and lift up one another. Lift up the men who are trying to save some of those things that so many have shed their blood for, given their lives for. I lost a few friends in Vietnam. My childhood friend Leo Miller, Bob Snable from Milan, lost him. Vietnam, David Lee Myers from Milan, lost him in Vietnam. We need to stand. We need to circle the wagons. I do a message entitled, Stay with the Flock. You need to make your commitment back to God's church. You need to gather around God's people and gather around the Word of God and the things of God. And God's going to take care of you. Don't stress out over what's going to happen. God is in charge. There is no power but of God. Circle the wagons. Stay with the flock. When I was a boy, I'd watch those jungle shows. Anybody remember them? Ramar the Jungle. You remember that? Man, you're older than you look. Ramar the Jungle. And man, it was scary to a kid. That is scary seeing all those lions and tigers and man. And you know what they were looking for? All those wild beasts. They were looking for the weak. They were looking for those that got separated from the flock. Maybe some of you here have kind of been separated from the flock. We as a church need to come together. We need to get on our knees and ask God to heal our nation. We hear a lot today, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Anybody remember how that goes? The Lord said, if my people, which are called by my name. He's not talking about everybody else. He's talking about his people. He's talking about you. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. What's the next part of that? And turn from their wicked ways. He said he'd hear from heaven. He would answer our prayer. He'd heal our land. We as a church need to come together. Stay with the flock. Circle the wagons. And thank God for this glorious nation that He's given us. Thank God for the men who've given their lives and shed their blood on the behalf of a Christian nation. It was founded on the cause of Christ. Those men came here for the cause of Christ. Won't you join me together with me as a church and lift up our leaders? Lift up our leaders and all those in authority. You know, God tells us to do that. Pray one for another. We're going to have to stay with ourselves among ourselves. Don't be worrying about what goes on in downtown Minneapolis or downtown Cincinnati or downtown Louisville or downtown Dallas. Don't be worrying about that. You don't have to deal with that. You just trust God. You stay with your church family and you trust God. You stay around people that love you and everything's going to be all right. When those children of Israel went into captivity, they were in captivity and they asked God what they were going to do. And God said, just build your houses, have your babies, you just go on. Because God is taking care of you today and He will continue to take care of you today and tomorrow and forever. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm done. If you're here this morning and you don't know what it is to be a Christian, you can stand up this morning. What is being a Christian is entrusting Christ, giving up on religion, giving up on the keeping the golden rule, giving up on yourself, and turning to the Savior, Jesus Christ. One day the disciples asked the Lord, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. Want to be a Christian? Trust Jesus Christ. Want to be religious? Join some oddball church somewhere. You want to be a Christian? Trust Jesus Christ. My. The altar's open this morning. If you got a burden on your heart, won't you come?